AM Amory and WBZH 910 AM W245CT Hayward. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Find out what's going on in the world, the state,
and in your own backyard.
This is a Civic Media Network News Update.
Good evening. It's 5 o'clock. I'm Luke Mathers, and here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A teenage murder defendant in Chippewa Falls will find out in January whether he'll be tried as a child or as an adult. A reverse waiver hearing that started Monday finished late this morning. The boy is accused of killing 10-year-old Lily Peters last year. He's now 15 years old. The prosecution and the defense will make written statements to Judge Stephen Gibbs. Those are due in November. Republicans are trying to intervene in a Democratic lawsuit that aims to legalize drop boxes and make other changes to early voting in Wisconsin. Stuart J. Wattles has more.
The GOP filing says if the suit is successful, it could confuse voters and undermine confidence in the process. Republicans at the national, state, and local levels also argue they should be heard in a lawsuit filed by the group Priorities USA and the Wisconsin Alliance for Retired Americans. The Wisconsin Supreme Court outlawed absentee drop boxes last year. Democrats want the new liberal majority to overturn that ruling. Stuart J. Wattles, Civic Media News.
Senator Tammy Baldwin is touting a new effort to study mental and physical health in rural central Wisconsin. Brittany Merlot reports.
Baldwin was at the Marshfield Agricultural Research Station in Stratford yesterday. Researchers there are looking for better ways to solve a number of health challenges in rural Wisconsin. Baldwin says it's a part of the mission of the Wisconsin Idea.
The walls of the classroom are the boundaries of the state. We want that to mean something, and an investment in a research station like this and the others around the state really do have that sort of applicability to so many.
The facility is part of the University of Wisconsin in Madison. Baldwin helped get $6 million in federal money for it. I'm Brittany Merlot, Civic Media News.
This week marks the 78th anniversary of the atomic bombs dropped on Japan at the end of World War II. The bombs may have killed as many as 226,000 people. It's on the minds of those debating the pros and cons of nuclear power. Advocates for nuclear energy say it's a useful tool in the fight against climate change. But activist Mary Miller says nuclear power shouldn't be considered clean energy. She says the negatives outweigh the potential for good.
Just like that power that was unleashed in the bomb, the use of nuclear energy for electricity, which is called nuclear power, cannot be safely anticipated, predicted, or controlled.
Experiments on new types of nuclear reactors are being conducted at the Idaho National Laboratory. Wisconsin wildlife officials are reminding people to be careful when swimming or boating. At least 9 people have died in Wisconsin lakes and rivers this year, including no fewer than 5 last weekend. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources says wear a life jacket. And that's what Wisconsin needs to know. I'm Luke Mathers, and this is Civic Media News.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. A free speech expert has some issues with Boston's new rules for public comments at meetings. A new rule forbids attacks on people, groups, or organizations. Boston leaders say it's to prevent disorderly conduct at meetings. But a political scientist at UW-Madison tells Channel 8 in La Crosse that it sounds like it could be an unconstitutional infringement on freedom of speech. Wisconsin wildlife officials are reminding people to be careful when swimming or boating. At least 9 people have died in Wisconsin lakes and rivers, including no fewer than 5 last weekend. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources says wear a life jacket whenever you're on a boat. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
The Brewers get the win in extra innings. Good afternoon, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers went back and forth with the Colorado Rockies. Milwaukee getting contributions from Andrew Monasterio and a guy who needed a big hit, Willie Adames, in the 5th inning. Highlights courtesy Bally Sports Wisconsin.
Adames to deep left. Tie game.
Colorado came back to tie it up and they went into extra innings. An error by the Rockies and the crew went on to get the win. 7-6 in the bottom of the 10th and to win the series at home 2-1. The Brewers have tomorrow off before heading to Chicago for a weekend series against the White Sox. Then they're off to L.A. next week to take on the Dodgers. NFL, I'm here in Cincinnati at Paycor Stadium where the Packers just wrapped up a joint practice session on a hot, muggy afternoon against the Bengals. They went about 2.5 hours when left guard Elgton Jenkins from Green Bay got mixed up in in not one but two camp brawls. Jenkins then escorted off the field after his second fight. I asked left tackle David Bakhtiari what triggered the brawls during practice with the Bengals.
I think he gave him like the wrong pie recipe or something like that, and he's pissed off. So
I mean, he's your guy, right?
Oh yeah, yeah. No, I mean, it just takes away a little bit from practice, but I mean, Elton, I mean, totally was in the right first time. I'm not gonna say it otherwise.
Quarterback Jordan Love missed on some deep passes again, but felt good about the continued growth of the offense.
It's play dependent, but the timing routes are very important. You know, when looks change, you might be seeing one high and then they go to two shell pre-snap. Just being able to recognize that, because we have different routes that, you know, convert versus different things. Receivers have to do different things, whether it's one high, two high, but just being able to see that and us just getting on the same page.
So the Packers face the Bengals Friday night for their first preseason game. Matt LaFleur says the extra day here gives them a chance to bring the team together.
We had a great team dinner last night. You know, went out to Jeff Ruby's. Unbelievable steakhouse. It was a really good experience, I think, for our guys to be on the road. This is the first time that we've done anything together like that. It was a pretty cool deal.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur from Cincinnati with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, a whopper of a Wednesday edition, a happier, happy hour. I got my little buddy Dominic right here with me in Madison WMDX Studios.
Good to see you, Crudy.
Yeah, you as well.
Yeah.
I can feel the energy.
Yes.
Just putting us in the same room, it's shaking up a couple of fighting fish. Just boom. Oh, don't they
shaking up a couple of Bud Lights and opening them up, baby.
Psh.
That's how we do it.
I never drank the Bud Light, but that's a different topic for a different day. And we are going to the callers in just a moment at 844-967-2789. Some have good advice to offer to the Wisconsin GOP who are bemoaning their lack of, let's just say, credibility with the young kids.
Trying to figure out how to tap into that Ute vote, those megas in the GOP.
Just find the right spin because they're not changing policies. So.
Well, that would be, of course, the most logical answer.
We'll get your great ideas at 844-967-2789. We're right here near the UW-Madison campus on beautiful State Street, Tom. But we got a little breaking news. And there's some breaking reporting at the New York Times. And the headline, previously secret memo laid out strategy for Trump to overturn Biden's win. And they kind of lay out the criminality part in this one, Dom. And I just wanted to read one quote from the reporting here before we turn our attention to our callers. The false elector scheme, we've talked about it quite a bit here, Dom. And the hero, or perhaps the villain, if you will, of this article, Dom, Cheese Bro.
Cheese Bro, don't be a cheese bro.
We've talked about him quite frequently. Sent the email off to Jim Troupas, talk about him quite a bit as well.
Who's Jim Troupas?
Well, he's the Trump lawyer that led the Trump recall efforts here in the state of Wisconsin, filed litigation to try and throw out like 200,000 votes, including those of him and his wife, Troupas and his wife.
His own vote.
His own vote.
Yeah.
But Cheese Bro, back in November, had proposed this alternative elector scheme. That was back in November. But that scheme, when it got to the hands of Rudy Giuliani, became like a plan, and it was executed in like seven different states. And Cheese Bro at one point writes a little memo, and this memo is brought to light through the reporting at the New York Times for the very first time. And we'll get to the memo a little later. But here's one quote from this article that kind of stood out to me, Dom. The false elector scheme was perhaps the most sprawling of Mr. Trump's various efforts to overturn the results of the 2020 election. It involved lawyers working on his campaign's behalf across seven states, dozens of electors willing to claim that Mr. Trump, not Mr. Biden, had won their states in open resistance from some of those potential electors that the plan could be illegal or even, and here's a quote, Dom, appear treasonous.
Yeah, weird how that would seem.
It does have that appearance to me.
It certainly does.
In the end, it became the cornerstone of the indictment against Mr. Trump. This January 6th memo, or pardon me, this scheme, this Cheesebro memo that basically outlines the criminality to come. So we'll get to that in just a minute, but let's get to the phones first. 844-967-2789. Jack from Merrimack, welcome back. What do you got?
Hey, Jack.
Well, I don't have any suggestions for the Republicans other than they could possibly start by repudiating the two attempted coups, at least that we know of, against the American government. But that isn't really why I called in. I was listening to you guys talking earlier about the Supreme Court. And every news person and most commentators that I've heard refer to it now as a liberal or progressive majority on the court. I would say no. I would say these are lawmakers who intend to follow the law, liberal or progressive, whether they are politically or not, that's irrelevant. But they intend to follow the law, unlike the previous court that, for instance, ignored the constitutional veto of our governor to implement the gerrymander. They ignored the state law to allow, I can't remember the guy's name, but there's a guy on the DNR board, allow him to stay
Fred Preen.
Years. Yeah, thank you. Years after he was, should have been out of office. And so hopefully the current court will at least follow the Constitution and the state law.
Jack, I think you might have misspoken very slightly. You said they're there to make the laws. That's not the role of the judiciary, obviously. I think a modest misspeak, but I don't want people to be confused per se. This is a liberal court. The court has turned. It was conservative. Now it's quote-unquote liberal. Hagedorn might be some sort of judicial independent, but as near as I can tell, the four on the court now, I would call them liberals. And I think they view the world through the prism that government is there to help the people and the courts are there to protect the people. And I think that's part of their judicial philosophy. Now, if it's a poorly written lawsuit, yeah, I think they have the courage to say this suit does not have the merits to win the arguments of the day. But in terms of the issues, the ideological issues, no, Jack, this is a lefty court. And it's four lefties, plus I would call Hagedorn mostly a judicial independent, but, you know, when it comes right down to it, when the rubber hits the road, he votes conservative with the bloc most often.
Is that what makes, I mean, you know, if Hagedorn can be considered independent judicially, then don't you think that the quote-unquote liberals could also be independent? I mean,
certainly they can
on
be.
What basis?
You know, well, I'll have to see some rulings. If they start ruling right. against what I would say is the lefty point of view, the abortion ban, be a prime example. If they voted against gerrymandering, if they sent it back and said, well, this doesn't have standing, they found some technicality to not answer the greater question, which is really what a court's supposed to do. It's supposed to act with restraint. If it's possible to not have to blow up the whole law, if you can just say, well, you know, we can decide this little portion and clarify, that's what they're supposed to do. Now, the conservatives grabbed up some of these cases before they were even ripe. They just grabbed them because they wanted to roll out the outcome that justified their end.
Before the court changed over.
But I look at the example of like Hagedorn on the ruling, the Tony Evers vetoed the maps, right? The gerrymandered maps of the Republicans. And they sued to the Wisconsin Supreme Court. And Hagedorn said, well, you know, go draw new maps, least change maps. And in fact, found that Tony's maps were least changed, I believe, if my memory serves. Ran up to the U.S. Supreme Court. They sent it back and said, find a differing outcome. And Hagedorn basically ordered...
Flipped his vote.
Well, I can't blame Hagedorn for that per se. I don't know yet how Jill Karofsky is going to rule on anything, but I sure as hell know that she ran as a liberal. She wasn't running as a judicial independent.
Protasiewicz, you mean?
Yes, yeah. Janet Protasiewicz did. And I want her to serve as a liberal. It's time to clean up some of these messes.
But does and I guess this is ultimately the question. If you look at a matter of law, how should it change
if
you look at it from a liberal, quote-unquote, point of view or a, quote-unquote, conservative point of view?
I would say this. I could understand the justification used by the conservative court to uphold Act 10 when they did. I thought the law was constructed and the lawsuit was constructed in a way where I understood the logic. I knew what they were going to rule before they ruled, but in that case, it was at least, to my perception, rational and logical how they ruled on that. Now, I think a liberal court would have taken a different answer. But some of these rulings, man, they're not even founded in law. I mean, consider this. Three of the conservatives that still serve on this court, well, I guess one's a former, Patience Rogan-Sack.
Your buddy.
I met her at dinner one night. She knew me. I knew her as well. But Dom, they were willing to overturn the will of the people of the state of Wisconsin. That was clearly a political activity when they were only a 4-3, right? I mean, yep. Hagedorn, the supposed independent, voted not to overrule the voters of the state of Wisconsin and tossed the election to Donald Trump. But at least three of them were willing to consider that as an outcome. That goes beyond, you know, judicial independence, let's just say. But I can't see that the other three, or four now, liberals would have thrown that to Joe Biden. If Joe Biden didn't win the state of Wisconsin, I cannot imagine these liberals would say, yeah, but we want him to win, so we'll find a way.
Here's what Hagedorn said in that particular case that saved democracy, at least in Wisconsin, perhaps in the country. Something far more fundamental than the winner of Wisconsin's electoral votes is implicated in this case. At stake, in some measure, is faith in our system of free and fair elections, a feature central to the enduring strength of our constitutional republic. It can be easy to blithely move on to the next case with a petition so obviously lacking, but this is sobering. The relief being sought by the petitioners is the most dramatic invocation of judicial power I have ever seen.
But three were down.
Three were down.
Ziegler, Rogan-Sack, and the bad Bradley. Come back with us. We are the Devil's Advocates. We're going to take many more of your phone calls. Want to hear from you today. Maybe you can help put some lipstick on that pig that is the Wisconsin GOP.
What is the question?
They're having a little crisis.
What are we looking
identity
for?
Down.
What do we want? We want answers. You want the truth?
They can't handle the truth, Tom.
Because, of course, the truth is, if Republicans really want to make inroads to young voters, you need to do the opposite of everything you've been doing for the last 10 years. Just do that. That's the truth.
Just put oldies on the radio. Give me your dad's Buick to take to the homecoming dance. They'll be fine, those kids. They don't need the modern conveniences. Give him your flip phone. He'll be fine with that.
Flip phone. Rotary, baby.
Rotary flip phone? Come back.
844-967-2789. Taking more of your calls in the Happier Happy Hour.
Did you know the Wisconsin State Fair is 172 years old? It still celebrates the industries important to our state's history, like agriculture. But every year, new attractions and items are added. This year, there's more than 100 new foods to try. So what do you think topped the culinary list last year? Flamin' hot Cheetos chicken on a stick? Deep-fried old-fashioned? Or Pino pretzel popper brat? The answer's coming up. The Wisconsin State Fair didn't start in its current home of West Allis. The first was in Janesville along the Rock River, then moved to different locations the next 40 years. The original cream puff has been around almost as long. Close to 400,000 are gobbled up every year. So which food was number one last year?
It was the Pino Pretzel Popper brought. It came out on top. The State Fair is a true slice of Wisconsin, and it runs through August 13th. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
A guy named Bill out in Oconomowoc. Bill's got some thoughts on that.
Thanks for talking about what you're talking about right now. Your station, you raise the bar high for integrity. You are a community radio station, which means you look out for all the citizens in the state of Wisconsin.
Daily conversations about Wisconsin's latest headlines and stories. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning, 6 till 8. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Here's your updated forecast. Partly cloudy skies tonight with a chance for scattered thunderstorms. Lows around 52. Winds out of the north, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Lots of sunshine tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 78. Scattered thunderstorms likely. Tomorrow night, lows level off around 58. Cloudy skies expected. Low 80s. Friday and Saturday, with a chance for scattered storms. Friday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 74.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. 12:15, Town Call. 1 p.m., The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn directs WLAK.
The Devil's Advocates. The fix for political junkies everywhere.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Going back to the lines at 844-967-2789. The question of the day. How does the GOP, how does MAGA make inroads to the youth vote? An article here in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel today points to Brian Schimming. He's the chairman of the Wisconsin GOP. And I don't know,
like,
if
70-ish.
I don't know if you knew this.
Maybe late 60s.
He's got a plan because he knows. He recognizes. He was a student body president before. So that's how he's going to reach out. And, of course, Scott Walker, the former governor of the state of Wisconsin, is the head of the Young Americas Foundation.
Didn't he run for student body president? Yeah. And the college paper at Marquette University said he was
unqualified?
It wasn't that he was unqualified. It was that he was a damn cheat. He had stolen their papers, and him and his operatives had thrown them away. They're like more like corrupt bastard, I think, was the headline. I'm not sure. I paraphrase.
But those are the leaders of the Wisconsin Republicans, and they are the ones who are going to set the stage to come up with the plan for outreach to make inroads to the youth vote. We wonder, what do you think the Republicans should do? 844-967-2789.
James from North Dakota, welcome. Rather be a badger than a boy named Sue, James.
Hey, James.
Hey, what happened to James?
Hello, James. You're on.
I'm putting James back on hold. You got insulted by the North Dakota trash talking.
Why are you talking trash right away, man?
Because he's from North Dakota, man. Wisco Paul, good Wisconsin boy. How you doing, Wisco?
Hey, Paulie.
Hey, good afternoon, Devils. Great show today. Hey, for off the subject a little bit, number one thing, maybe they could speak up against Trump and his death threats on people. I mean, that might help get some of the young people's votes. That's not a very good example.
He's not currently threatening record, the young people with death, is he?
He's threatening anybody, man.
COVID mostly killed their grandparents.
Yeah, wow. Anyway, Jesus. Oh, man, Curdy.
I'm sorry, too soon?
Well, at any rate, the first thing that could maybe let them vote, I mean, that might be a step in the right direction. Fund the university system like it should be funded. Build the engineering department, Crudy, down there in Madison, future engineers. So I don't think there's any hope for the Republican Party getting the youth vote back.
Here's how they can steal the youth vote back, Paul.
Steal it back.
Here, they would just have to do
it. There you go.
I have an answer. Do a 180 and legalize marijuana. You would trick the young people into supporting the Republican Party. Short of that, you're dead.
But here's the problem, and I think we're going to get
maybe
this
Walker's
a lot.
New advocacy for lowering the drinking age to 18. Maybe drunk kids would vote Republican.
If the Republicans are not willing and or able to change their philosophies and their politics.
They are not and will not.
Okay, so then, so we get a good suggestion like, hey, you know, fund the schools and basically what? Embrace democratic ideas. So that's the problem. There, of course, if weed was legalized, I don't think that the kids would give the Republicans credit for it. If the schools were fully funded, I don't think the kids, those young adults that the Republicans want to make inroads with, would credit the GOP for that. These are issues that have been heralded and championed by progressives and Democrats. These are not Republican issues.
Mitt Romney flippy floppy, man. They just got to change their minds today. Robin Voss, smoke it if you got it. 844-967-2789. James from North Dakota. Chance number two, James. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Hello, James.
Hi there. I got a couple opinions, but after this, I got to go fuck my fat.
All right. 844-967-2789. Jake from Brookfield, what are your thoughts today?
Hey, Jake.
Hello, Jake.
Frank?
Oh, you're on. Go ahead. Yep.
There's nothing the Republican Party can do to win young voters, flat out. Everything is born, it grows, and then it maintains itself for a little bit, and then it dies. It has a process of dying, but then it dies. There's only one way. There's a split in the Republican Party, and I don't know if that's going to happen.
Now, Jake, do you think that party could rebirth itself, rise like a phoenix from the ashes, and reconfigure itself? But I would suspect it would have to be not with Trump as the cult leader, but could you see a Republican Party rebirthing as the Whigs, perhaps?
No, only Jesus, only the second coming of Jesus, then, maybe.
Oh, I'm sorry, Jake. Didn't mean to cut you short on your
He's
Jesus
already
thought.
Here, though, Jake, and he's taken the form of Donald Trump. If you don't believe me, just ask Donald Trump.
Dick from Madison. Welcome, Dick. What do you got for us?
Hey, Dick.
Real quick, do you have a name for that beautiful new vessel you bought?
I'm considering the Jordan Love Boat.
How about, since it's a 76, the Bicentennial Dinghy? anyway, moving on. What they can do. Here's what I suggest.
Love
it's
boat.
About money, correct? Just show me the way Robin Voss pilfers money from the COVID relief fund. You know, you too could do this. And how about, here's another one.
That was legal PPP money, the $300,000 plus that he took for his popcorn corporation.
You mean that socialist money that was given out during the
it's
pandemic?
It's not socialist when a Republican takes
it. Oh, okay.
But then, secondly, if you should aspire to elected office and win, you could be a has-been who should have never been, like Scott Walker, and go on to lead the Hitler Youth Corps for almost $1 million a year. Why wouldn't you want to be a Republican?
The Young Americas Foundation, Dick. And, you know, obviously he didn't get that job, in my humble opinion, because of his great, you know, executive abilities as governor of the Wisconsin. He got that job, I would surmise, and I don't have any proof of this, but I'm just guessing. It's a conduit, man. I mean, how is the Young Americas Foundation being funded? And were those funders benefited in any way, shape, or form by the, you know, activities of Scott Walker and his cronies here in the state of Wisconsin?
I just thought he had a lot of brown shirts. Come back with us. More of the happy hour.
He was very fond of that Ronald Reagan shirt.
The Sansalito Ronald Reagan fashion shirt. Thought about buying one myself. Come back, more Devils. 844-96-PARTY.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. Beginning at 6, Up North News. And at 8, Stu Daniels. On Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
ABC News. I'm Derek Dennis. A dire situation unfolding in Hawaii as wildfires rage in Maui. Officials say as they search for survivors, they are also finding casualties.
We've had 6 fatalities that we were able to confirm. And we are still in a search and rescue mode.
Residents fled in the middle of the night. The National Guard has been mobilized and a state of emergency is in effect. Federal authorities say a man was killed during an FBI raid in Provo, Utah. Agents were trying to execute a search warrant to arrest a suspect identified as Craig Robertson in connection with making threats against President Biden and other officials. California Senator Dianne Feinstein is recovering from a fall at her home in San Francisco. A spokesperson says the 90-year-old went to the hospital for tests and scans came back all clear. An American nurse and Christian ministry worker kidnapped along with her daughter nearly 2 weeks ago in Haiti have been freed. This is ABC News.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. A teenage murder defendant in Chippewa Falls will find out in January whether he'll be tried as a child or as an adult. A reverse waiver hearing that started Monday finished late this morning. The boy is accused of killing 10-year-old Lily Peters last year. He's now 15 years old. The prosecution and the defense will make written statements to Judge Stephen Gibbs. Those are due in November. A free speech expert has some problems with Mauston's new rules for public comments at meetings. A new rule forbids attacks on people, groups, or organizations. Mauston leaders say it's to prevent disorderly conduct at meetings, but a political scientist at UW-Madison tells Channel 8 in La Crosse sounds like it could be an unconstitutional infringement on freedom of speech. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
I have Corrine Hendrickson, part of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed group.
We spend $500 on our infants and toddlers on average. If you go to the other countries, you're talking about $11,000 on average in Europe and the other developed countries. It makes a difference. They end up spending less on their K-12 system. They end up spending less on their colleges. They end up spending less on jail.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8.
On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories.
Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Malarkey. The Devil's Advocates invented malarkey.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, a hump day edition. People must be heading up to concerts on the square down. Quite busy here in State Street, Madison, Wisconsin. Got my little buddy with me in the WMDX Solidarity Realty Studios right here in Madison. And you can be a part of this big show. We got this shiny new visual presentation, Dom. If you haven't seen us in person, oh man, are we sexy.
Oh, let me tell you all about it.
Although less so if you see us in person. Better to imagine our sexiness on the radio. And join us at 844-967-2789 before we turn to the reporting, Dom, of Maggie Haberman and others at the New York Times. This involves Wisconsin. Paul from Monona, you're next. Welcome. What do you got for us, Paul?
Hey, Paul.
Hi. Hey, happy afternoon from fashionable Monona.
Nice.
Right on. Back at you, Paul.
I know we're all happy about the Ohio results,
yes.
But
I was listening to, you know, the ABC News snippets that play periodically throughout the day. It was interesting because, as I recall, they were summing it up as basically Ohio votes as to whether or not to lower the threshold for a constitutional amendment, which sounds like something completely different from what it was. And I think the fact that this was being reported on national media is disheartening. Because,
well, Paul, the good news is the voters in Ohio connected the dots. They knew what this was about.
I know, they did. But I heard that, I'm like, wait a minute, what did they say? And then they did it again, and I'm like, that's not okay. So anyway, yeah, I just thought I'd call in and, you know, celebrate with you, but also comment on that. That was a little disconcerting. So,
Paul, we're better than you. We're from Madison, man. Stay in Monona.
Come on.
Actually, Monona lovely. Has the lake there and all, everything.
Hey, Paul. Yeah, yeah.
All right, appreciate it, Paul. Yes, facts matter, and it was a big deal. And for the Republicans in Ohio to throw this out there, because of course they know, like many other Republican states, that when the people actually let their will be done, abortion rights are going to be protected in Ohio come this next vote.
Dom, do you...
how typical is it? I mean, and you talk about. The topic of the day, the question of the day, how do Republicans make inroads with younger voters?
Uline money.
One thing.
Dick Uline funded this anti-democracy effort in Ohio.
Here's what you don't do, and this happens, and we've had Dale Schultz here in the state of Wisconsin talk about this. When they run out of ideas, they mess with the machinations, right? What was this about? Well, this was a preemptive strike to stop the people from exercising their will by Republicans. They knew that this topic was a loser. They know the majority of Ohioans and the majority of people in this country want abortion's right protected for women. They know this. And they know they're going to lose when it comes down to it. So what do? They don't try to convince the young voters, hey, this is bad and this is why. Because they lose that argument because, of course, no exceptions for rape or incest. I mean, come on. We've had this conversation. It's a loser for the Republicans. They've been losing on it since Dobbs, and they're continuing to lose on it. But the answer is not to change the rules of the game.
Sure it is. That's the only way they win.
That's what their response is, but that is not a way to attract, you know, new voters.
But Dom, on this very show yesterday, we talked about Tony Evers, governor of the state of Wisconsin, his proposal, special session, to fund child care in the state of Wisconsin.
Hundreds of millions of dollars for child care, $1 billion overall.
Wait, if we don't have abortion here in the state of Wisconsin, and presumably we have more babies, but Republicans aren't willing to support the child care efforts either. Well, you got teen moms that aren't going to be voting Republican either, right? You made them have the baby, but you won't support their efforts to go out and get a job.
No, and the other thing, personal responsibility. If we can't have, you know, birth control, because they're coming after that too, and you certainly can't have an abortion, because, you know, God, well, then of course it's personal responsibility. No sex for you, no matter what. Hey, I mean, be like us. Be like Republicans. No sex for you.
Is that the problem? They don't get any? So they're trying to force the rest of us not to have a good time on Friday nights?
I mean, essentially, that's what they do.
Wednesday afternoons, Tuesday mornings.
Afternoon delights.
Whatever. Mark from SAC, welcome back, man. Always an afternoon delight to have you on the radio with us.
Hey, Mark.
And thanks, guys. And thanks to Paul for confirming what I thought I'd heard as well on what was going on in Ohio. They're actually increasing the requirements to put good and pass constitutional changes in Ohio.
Mark, I thought you meant Wisco Paul, who was obviously rolling with Mrs. Wisco Paul today. People heard her giggling in the background and even made comment like, who's Paul rolling with? That's Mrs. Wisco Paul.
And that was great. But I read here now from the Wisconsin Constitution, because I maintain the conservatives should support the Wisconsin Constitution. It should be the conservative view to support the Wisconsin Constitution, where it says for legislative districts, such districts to be bounded by county, precinct, town, or ward lines, to consist of contiguous and be as compact a form as practicable, is how the districts are supposed to be formed, and they certainly are not in many.
But you know,
cases.
They don't know at least two of the definitions of words in that sentence. I mean, isn't that a legal defense? I don't understand the language of the law.
Could you dumb it down for us, please?
It is a it is not a legal defense. And Crude, I was going to say, make sure you get have enough life jackets in your new boat, because you don't want to. They're just given the fatality total of people that have been drowning.
Well,
you know, in
I totally
also.
Agree with boater safety, Mark. But I will point out, we're on a no wake lake, so we don't, and we've got a little speedometer. Although the speedometer on the boat's dead, we got the depth finder speedometer thing, the little fish finder. I won't let my son go over 4.5 miles an hour. I think we'd see trouble coming, Mark.
But you still got to have life jackets.
Oh,
on
we
the
have
boat.
Them. Okay. I'm just right. personally wearing one at the time.
Sure, but you know where they are?
Yeah, they're under the seat.
Okay, and you got an extra large, or you got the kids one? I mean, what one would you wear?
I haven't tried one on yet. My son, he found one that fit. He wore it all weekend. He was our designated boat driver.
Well done. Responsible.
844-967-2789. Oh, CJ, you could be next, but I'm waiting for more callers first.
844-967-2789.
Dom, seems like an opportunistic time to get this, to get to the reporting at the New York Times. Previously, secret memo laid out strategy for Trump to overturn Biden's win. Since I know you're listening, CJ, I'm going to give you a little fact lesson. The House January 6th committee's investigation did not uncover the memo whose existence first came to light in last week's indictment. So this is new news, CJ. I'm going to read it for you. Maggie Haberman, Charlie Savage, and Luke Broadwater at the Old Gray Lady, New York Times. A lawyer allied with President Donald Trump first laid out a plot to use false slates of electors, to subvert the 2020 election in a previously unknown internal campaign memo that prosecutors are portraying as a crucial link in how Trump's team's efforts evolved into a criminal conspiracy. Do you like the ring of that, CJ? The existence of the December 6, 2020 memo came to light in last week's indictment of Mr. Trump. That's what the judge called him, though its details remained unclear. But a copy obtained by the New York Times show for the first time that lawyer, wait for it, Kenneth Cheesebro, acknowledged from the start that he was proposing a bold, controversial strategy the Supreme Court likely would reject in the end. Reject meaning it'd be unconstitutional. But even if the plan did not ultimately pass legal muster at the highest level, Cheesebro argued that it would achieve two goals. It would focus attention on claims of voter fraud and, here's a quote, Dom, buy the Trump campaign more time to win litigation that would deprive Biden of electoral votes and or add to Trump's column. The memo had been a missing piece in the public record of how Mr. Trump's allies developed their strategy to overturn Joseph R. Biden Jr.'s victory. In mid-December, the false Trump electors could go through the motions of voting as if they had the authority to do so. Then on January 6, 2021, Vice President Mike Pence could unilaterally count those slates of votes rather than the official and certified ones for Mr. Biden. Somebody wrote down the criminal part, Dom. While the basic plan itself was already known, the document described by prosecutors as the, and here's the quote, Dom, the fraudulent elector memo.
Oh, it's not a bold, bold controversial memo?
It's the fraudulent elector memo in the indictment, Dom, and provides new details about how it originated and was discussed behind the scenes. Among those details is Cheesebro's proposed messaging, air quote, strategy to explain why pro-Trump electors were meeting in states where Mr. Biden was declared the winner. Yeah, like Wisconsin. Why would they meet when Biden won this state, Tom?
What's the plan, Crudy?
The campaign would present that step as a routine measure that is necessary to ensure, that's the quote, that the correct electoral slate could be counted by Congress if courts or legislators later concluded that Trump had actually won the states.
That's a routine measure. Happens all the time.
That was like the light beer version of this plan. And then it got a little more criminal. It was not the first time Cheesebro had raised the notion of creating alternative electors. Here's where Wisconsin comes in. In November, he had suggested doing so in Wisconsin, although for a different reason, to safeguard Mr. Trump's right in the case. He later won a court battle and was declared that state certified winner by January 6th as had happened with Hawaii in 1960. So that was the just-in-case plan he wrote in November, just in case Trump was vindicated in litigation. Well, he'd have these slate of electors that then could be his electors. And then it changed. But the indictment portrayed the December 6th memo as a sharp departure from that proposal, becoming what prosecutors say was a criminal plot to engineer, and here's a quote, Tom, a fake controversy that would derail the proper certification of Biden as president-elect.
I recognize what I suggest is a bold, controversial strategy, and that there are many reasons why it might not end up being executed on January 6th, Cheesebro wrote, but as long as it is one possible option to preserve it as a possibility, it is important that the Trump-Pence electors cast their electoral votes on December 14th. That was a quote. The New York Times goes on. 3 days later, Cheesebro drew up specific instructions to create fraudulent electors in multiple states in another memo whose existence, along with the one in November, was first reported by the Times last year. The House committee investigating the January 6th riots also cited them in its December report, but apparently did not learn of the December 6th memo. I believe that what can be achieved on January 6th is not simply to keep Biden below 270 electoral votes, Cheesebro wrote in the newly disclosed memo. It seems feasible that the vote count can be conducted so that at no point will Trump be behind in the electoral count vote count unless and until Biden can obtain a favorable decision from the Supreme Court upholding the Electoral Count Act as constitutional or otherwise recognizing the power of Congress and not the president or of the Senate to count the votes.
You understand that's a game of optics, right? Never let Biden be ahead in the electoral vote count,
right,
by simply, what, refusing to acknowledge the real
electors.
Biden electors.
Instead, acknowledge the fraudulent electors. Cheesebro, his lawyer, did not respond to questions for comment. A Trump spokesman did not respond to an email. The false elector scheme was perhaps the most sprawling of Trump's various efforts to overturn the election. It involved lawyers working on his campaign's behalf and across seven states, dozens of electors willing to claim that Mr. Trump, not Biden, had won the states, and open resistance from some of those potential electors that the plan could be illegal or even appear treasonous. In the end, it became the cornerstone of the indictment against Mr. Trump. While another lawyer, Eastman, described co-conspirator number two in the indictment, became a key figure who championed the plan and worked more directly with Trump on it, Cheesebro was the architect. He was first enlisted by the Trump campaign in Wisconsin to help with a legal challenge to the results there.
Dominic, we're going to come back. We're going to tell more of the story of Wisconsin. We're going to take more of your phone calls, perhaps more good ideas for the Republican Party. You know, they're trying to win over the youth vote. Do you think creating false slates of electors and trying to pervert democracy, is that the way to win the kids over, or just sort of take control?
Just like Trump says, they're doing it for you. We're doing it for the children.
Don't know what's good for them.
Of course.
Sit there and shut up, kid. Right. I'll tell you what's good for you as I steal your election from you. And by the way, if you vote again, we're going to steal your votes from you, too. We'll raise it to 21 or 25.
I'll just make it harder for you to vote.
Any means necessary. Come back. Call us. Any means necessary. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
Hey, this is Joey Erickson at Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. At Civic Media, we love our local communities and want to share your stories. Submit your local event and we'll let our listeners know. Email me at joey.erickson@civicmedia.us.
Did you know the Wisconsin State Fair is 172 years old? It still celebrates the industries important to our state's history, like agriculture. But every year, new attractions and items are added. This year, there's more than 100 new foods to try. So what do you think topped the culinary list last year? Flamin' hot Cheetos chicken on a stick? Deep fried old fashioned? Or Pino pretzel popper brat? The answer's coming up. The Wisconsin State Fair didn't start in its current home of West Allis. The first was in Janesville along the Rock River, then moved to different locations the next 40 years. The original cream puff has been around almost as long. Close to 400,000 are gobbled up every year. So which food was number one last year? It was the Pino pretzel popper brat. It came out on top.
The State Fair is a true slice of Wisconsin, and it runs through August 13th. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at sounditouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Here's your updated forecast. Chance for scattered storms tonight, otherwise partly cloudy. Lows level off around 52, northerly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Mainly sunny skies tomorrow, highs level off around 78. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow night, scattered thunderstorms likely, lows dip down to about 58. Low 80s Friday with a chance for scattered storms, cooler Saturday with highs in the upper 70s. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air WLAK, 1260 AM, right now 73.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. At 10, As Goes Wisconsin. Then at noon, Civic Media Network News. On Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devils Advocates Radio Show, our last segment of the day. Taking your calls at 844-967-2789. Then stick around. The Maggie Dawn Show coming up next.
Is she joining us on this fine program tomorrow?
Tomorrow. Maggie Dunn going to hit us up at 5:30, and then I might stay over a little bit on her show as well. So always keep it locked here, your favorite Civic Media radio station.
Dominic, a little bit more of the New York Times reporting, at least in regards to the Wisconsin connection. Cheese Bro, who is described as co-conspirator number 5 in the indictment, but has not been charged by the special counsel, addressed the second memo to James Troupas.
Who's James Troupas, Crudy?
Dom, a lawyer who was assisting the Trump campaign's efforts to challenge Mr. Biden's victory in Wisconsin. Oh, was he? By the next day, the indictment said Cheese Bro's memo had reached Rudy Giuliani, Mr. Trump's personal lawyer. According to the indictment, Giuliani, who was referred to as co-conspirator number 1, you're number 1, Rudy, spoke with someone identified only as co-conspirator number 6. I think we've determined that might be Boris Epstein. As he had done in the earlier memo, Cheese Bro cited writings by a Harvard law professor, Lawrence Tribe, who completely said, I have been quoted out of context and you've used crap interpretations of the law here. So anyways, Cheese Bro used Lawrence Tribe, who has decried all of the use of his prior text. What else? For one, Cheesebro quoted a clause from a law review article by Mr. Tribe about Bush v. Gore as support for the idea that the only legal deadline is January 6th. That was taken out of context, Mr. Tribe wrote, saying he was only narrowly discussing the specifics of Florida state law. Cheesebro, by contrast, made it sound as if he was putting forward a general proposition about the power of the states to do what they wish, regardless of the Electoral Count Act and the independent deadline set by Congress. Anyways, Dom, the gist of this reporting. The criminal part, Cheeseborough basically laid out and said, hey, we know it's criminal. We know it's not going to ever work, but it's not really about the success of this plan. It's about making sure that Joe Biden never wins or leads in the Electoral College count. And if we can just throw it back to enough states, delay it for long enough, we can pervert democracy. And it's probably illegal.
But
let's do it.
That's a great... What did Andrew Hitt, the former chair of the Republican Party in Wisconsin, a false elector? He's like, this is terrible. This is going to fail. Where do I sign?
844-967-2789. Tom from Madison. Welcome, Tom. What do you got for us?
Hello, Tom.
Hey, guys. Hey, speaking of... horrible Republican policies that they'll lose the youth vote over. Did you see the article about WPR, how we got their abortion in Wisconsin since 1849?
I have not read that yet, Tom. Share what you can in like a minute.
Okay, well, it's interesting because they said that immediately struck by the irony that people between 1849 and 58 had more rights to terminate a pregnancy than they do today. And actually, the 1849 abortion ban was only about killing an unborn quick child. That meant till you actually felt the child in your womb. It wasn't until 1858 that a guy named
William Henry Brisbane changed that to what we have right now. So you go back, the laws back in 1849 were actually more liberal than they are now.
Wow. Well, you know, the definitely originalists on the court, Tom, would say take us all the way back, you know, to Adam and Eve days.
Absolutely. But yeah, if you get a chance, look at WPR, How We Got Here, by Bridget Bowden and Evan Casey. I read that this morning and I was just blown away. It was great.
Tom, thanks for flagging that for us in the audience.
Yeah, thanks, Tom.
Dom's not doing the reading. Rico from Rock County. Welcome, Rico. What do you got for us, fella?
What's up, Rico?
Hey, how you doing?
Good, man.
I am never as happy as you are at 5:45 p.m., Rico.
Oh, wow. Let me answer your little questionnaire you got going on here. It's like, you know, hey, you know, what do these guys need to do? Well, you know, I hate to give you advice, but I will anyway, because I know you won't take it. Stop with the lying and the craziness and the hypocrisy and everything else that you're doing.
Rico, are you kidding me? If it weren't for the lying, they've got no policies at all. If they had to tell the truth about their agendas, they're not going to win any elections. They're not going to win a dog catcher race. Rico, lying is the only tool left in the box, fella.
But I want to tell you what. I don't know if you guys know this, but I've worked for the last 5 years exclusively in a little town called Whitewater, Wisconsin. Well, you know, part of the big old UW system, a little milder and a little calmer than the Madison.
Not as cool as La Crosse, but go ahead.
yeah, nowhere near that caliber. Really conservative anyway. I'll tell you what, the Republican wants a piece of advice. They're not going to like it because I am honest engine, as true as I can be, I'm telling you, and I do talk to these kids. 7 out of 10 of those kids up there going to school in Whitewater, if you ask them their political views, I guarantee you there's one name that comes out of 7 out of 10 of their mouths. And it ain't Biden and it ain't Trump. His name's Bernie Sanders. So, you know, whoever wants to align with Bernie's policies, I think might reach the young kids. But good luck with that, guys. And, that's all I got.
Right. Thanks, Rico. Appreciate
Rico,
it.
Rico, I don't know if you know this, but Bernie Sanders is coming to Madison September 22nd. Our friends at the Capital Times are hosting Bernie for a little commentary. John Nichols and Bernie Sanders, I believe that's Friday, September 22nd. Look up Cap Times Idea Fest 2023 for tickets.
844-967-2789.
I wish there was time for one more caller
there
today.
There is time. CJ, how would you suggest the GOP make inroads? What do they have to do to make inroads to the youth vote?
Well, they need to be like Santa Claus and do the student forgiveness program, because that's the big lie that has been given to Cameron. But I can get why you guys would avoid the news of the day as this president, Commander Cut and Run, inches us closer to a nuclear war. Russia and China ships are now off Alaska's shoreline, just following the balloon's path. But you guys are okay with that. You're worried about things that are way down the road, although you guys do lie and cheat better than the Republicans.
Well, come on now, CJ. I would like for you to articulate specifically any lying or cheating that Kurti and I may have engaged in the last, I don't know, 20 minutes.
I thought it would pay better, the lying and the cheating.
You're not doing it right, man. Damn it.
Bigger lies,
more cheating.
I was elected president in 2020.
No. I was elected president. I am the president.
I am Trump. It's like Spartacus.
I am Spartacus. Folks, I am dumb.
Thank you for listening to the Hump Day Edition. Hope you had a happy hour. Stick around, Maggie Dawn. She'll make you happy. She's a smart lady. After that, the Empowered Caregivers with Liza Hellenbrand and the Rick Smith Show going nationwide. Keep it locked. Civic Media, that's what all the patriots do.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
And apparently, Maggie Dawn, Fig Newton lover. of the Maggie Dawn Show.
I was so offended, Jane. You know how much I love and admire you. You're like my freaking radio hero. And then to hear you bash my Newton.
It's still bad.
You want the cakey part cakey. You want the jammy part jammy. That is like bringing me back.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Because I joined last night and I'm hopeful. Wow. I'm hopeful that it is more fun than Twitter has been lately, because Twitter has not been that fun lately.
I do wish it weren't those two.
I know. It's a weird thing to be cheering for Mark Zuckerberg right now.
I'm choosing between the Joker and the Penguin. This is not a winning solution.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry and Jane Mattenair. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You're listening to WLAK 1260 AM Amory and WBZH 910 AM W245 CT Hayward. Always streaming on the Civic Media.